This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its Board of Directors, Associate Station Manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Hillary Fahn, who owns a business in Urbana called Equability that adapts clothing for people with disabilities. But first, disability news for the week of November 20th, 2023. According to findings from the U.S. Department of Education's latest civil rights data, students with disabilities make up a larger percentage attending public schools than just a few years ago. Also, students with disabilities have found to be much more likely to be subjected to restraint and seclusion, be suspended, expelled, or referred to law enforcement. The information looks at more than 17,000 school districts and over 97,000 public schools across the country during the 2020-21 school year. The current findings include facts on enrollment, access to courses, teachers, school staff, the internet, and devices. In addition, there are findings on discipline, bullying, and school climate. According to Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona, quote, "We cannot be complacent when the data repeatedly tells us that the race, sex, or disability of students continue to dramatically impact everything from access to advanced placement courses to the availability of school counselors to the use of exclusionary and traumatic disciplinary practices," end quote. In the U.S., the report shows that 17% of public school students have disabilities, an increase of a little over 1% over the pre-COVID findings, with 14% served under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act and 3% covered by Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. According to the new report, students with disabilities are disciplined at disproportionate rates, with 29% of K-12 students who received out-of-school suspensions and 21% of expulsions having disabilities. This group was found to be more likely to have school-related arrests or be referred to law enforcement. Of more than 40,000 allegations of reported harassment or bullying, 9% were on the basis of disability. In addition, students served under IDEA were much more likely to be subjected to restraint and seclusion, accounting for more than 30% who were mechanically restrained, more than 80% who were physically restrained, and 75% of kids who were secluded. They were also less frequently enrolled in mathematics and science courses. In response, Kathleen Lehman, Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights at the Education Department, said, quote, "These new CRDC data reflect troubling differences in students' experiences in our nation's schools. We remain committed to working with school communities to ensure the full civil rights protections that federal law demands," end quote. Another recent report analyzing disability representation in over 500 live-action scripted television programs that aired during the 2021-22 season says that there were only 40 leads with known disabilities. The data comes from an annual report by UCLA, which examines diversity in Hollywood. This is the first time that disability status was included with other factors like race, ethnicity, gender, and age. Even though people with disabilities account for 26% of the population, they represented only a little over 12% of the leads on broadcast shows. On cable, the number of leads with disabilities was less than 10%, and on digital platforms like Netflix and Disney Plus, the number was less than 6%. Michael Tran, a graduate student in sociology at UCLA and a co-author of the report, said, quote, "We listened to what people wanted to know. Now that more reliable data is available, we're able to bring more visibility to communities, but those with disabilities like those with disabilities, to the forefront so that more people from underrepresented backgrounds can be given opportunities and to benefit the entire industry, end quote. Of the actors with disabilities who appeared in programs during the 2021-22 season, analysis found that most had mental health issues, learning, or neurological disabilities. The researchers concluded, quote, actors with visible disabilities were essentially excluded from the small screen in 2021-22, end quote. More than 67% of broadcast scripted shows had no actors with disabilities in their main casts. That figure was at or above 77% for cable and digital platforms. The researchers did note that two of the popular shows on television, Stranger Things on Netflix and Hawkeye on Disney Plus, featured a number of cast members with disabilities, suggesting that inclusion of people with disabilities is not a deterrent for audiences. And finally, and thanks to the hundreds of advocates who responded to the requirement by the State of Illinois Department of Human Services to cancel the competitive bidding process required for independent service coordination agencies, otherwise known as NOFO or Notice of Funding Opportunities, that process has been problematic for both the agencies and the people served, and that all current independent service coordination agencies will be offered an opportunity to sign a new agreement with the Division of Developmental Disabilities set to begin on July 1st, 2024. So we managed to dodge a bullet there, and the changes that were probably going to happen will not. And that's the news for this week.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say I hope it always will stay this way.
And you are listening to Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nyswander, and I'm joined today by Hillary Fahn, who is a fan?
Fam.
See, I asked before the show, and then I still messed it up. Hillary, welcome to the program. You were supposed to be on last week, and we got our wires crossed, and it didn't happen. So I'm really, really glad you're here today. I'm really anxious to learn all about your business and the work that you're doing. So why don't we start out by just introducing yourself to the listeners?
Sure, absolutely. And thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it. So my name is Hillary. I grew up in Chicago, and I came down to Champaign originally for my undergrad and master's at U of I. And I ended up staying around this area, working remotely, and also working on my business.
There you go. Okay. And you went to U of I. I mean, how many people do we interview here who go to U of I and then they stick around town? So how long have you been in the Champaign-Urbana area?
I've been here since fall of 2016. So what is that, 6-7 years?
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty young. You just graduated from school. So why don't we talk a little bit about what is your motivation? Well, first of all, let's talk about your business and specifically what you're doing.
Sure. So my company is called Equability, and we adapt existing clothes to make them more accessible. So we take existing clothes like button-down shirts, jeans, and we use materials like magnets, Velcro, and snap buttons to make them more accessible. This is especially true for people with dexterity or mobility issues. For example, my mom has arthritis and carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. She loves button-down shirts and jeans, and she wears them every day. But the little buttons on her shirt or the zipper of her pants are really difficult, especially in the morning. So we aren't making any new clothes. We want to make sure that the people who have clothes that they've had for decades and years, they can take those clothes that they love already and just make them accessible to wear to suit them in their current time of need. We also want people who have more eclectic taste in fashion, who want to shop at vintage stores, want to shop at stores that don't offer adaptive options to wear trendy clothes. We want to help those people get clothes and make them more accessible for them.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me, because if you're trying to work your skills to help a very diverse population of people. You're not going to be able to meet everyone's needs if you just buy clothes and adapt them and put them on a rack to sell. So what are some of the projects that you've done in recent times? What have you worked on?
Sure. So I think it's been twofold so far in our company's time. So we first launched our button-down shirts. So you can send us, typically we recommend something that is a heavier cloth weight, so it can hold the weight of the magnets or the Velcro or the snap buttons, and it won't be weighed down like silk or chiffon. So you can send us a button-down shirt, and we can do the front placket of the shirt. Our second biggest project has been pants. Mm-hmm. It's been funny. We took the shirts to people who have dexterity issues, mobility issues, and ask them, hey, what do you think of this? And they always said, wow, this would be really helpful for jeans. And so we went, okay, maybe jeans are the next thing to add.
Mm-hmm.
So with jeans, instead of the zipper, we've figured out a way to rip that out without damaging the clothes and replace it with squares of Velcro or snap buttons down mm-hmm. the zipper line. For the button at the top, we've moved that around so it always looks buttoned, but it's replaced with either a dress pant hook or a square of Velcro, depending on dexterity levels.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two main products that we've been working on. We are workshopping some new ideas. So people have mentioned, one person on Instagram reached out. She wears a leg brace that starts below her knee. And she said, it would be really great if I could wear jeans or pants that aren't massive and really wide at the bottom. So then I can just slip it on and it doesn't have to be this really wide pant style that I don't like all day.
Mm.
And that's a good idea. So we're definitely working on taking some suggestions that people have shared with us, workshopping that, seeing how feasible it is for us to do just time-wise, material-wise. But yeah, we're excited to see what comes next.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about people that I know who are essentially not able to dress themselves because their physical involvement is so great. Do you ever design things so that, you know, a personal support person can help them dress by, you know, dressing them from the front and closing things in the back? Or is that something you haven't ventured into quite yet?
I don't think we've ventured into that quite yet. We are very much trying to figure out what of the physical features and the functional features that we can change. There are quite a few companies like Silverts and Albertsons online where they sell shirts that have Velcro in the back so you can snap them closed and open more easily. The main issue with those companies is it's more likely than not sweatpant material or in very specific patterns that aren't as trendy or modern as people would like. So those options do exist. Absolutely. I think one of the biggest missions that we have is to try to make sure the clothes don't look any different. One of our biggest goals is to adapt clothing so people don't feel like you can recognize something's been changed. They don't have to feel like they're standing out in the crowd. So for example, with our button-down shirts, my partner's figured out a way to try to sew as close as she can on the existing seams so you don't have to see so many lines on your shirt. One of our white button-down shirts, I've had people look at it and just say nothing's been changed with it, and that's kind of our goal. So I think hiding that seam on the back has been our biggest issue, but definitely something that we will consider, of course, because that is a big need. Yeah.
What's the most interesting project that you've done?
The most interesting project. I think a lot of people have mentioned jackets. Jackets are a really big issue, whether it's the zipper in the front or just getting it on.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few people who we spoke to who shared stories of there's one gentleman who would wear his coat backwards because he used a wheelchair, and it was just easier to put his arms directly into the jacket so it was backwards on his front side rather than just trying to put on the jacket and zipping it up and dealing with all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after hearing those stories, focusing on jackets and seeing how we can add maybe some ties or some loops where people can grab on a little bit easier, especially inside, to pull it over their arms. It's been very interesting. My partner, she has a lot of experience in fashion and design.
Mm-hmm.
So she is very much enjoying the process of prototyping, trying to figure things out and seeing what works.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really problem solvers. But I have to ask, what brought you to this business? What was your motivation for doing that?
It actually happened really organically. I never thought I'd have my own company or never was aware of this project. in January 2020, I took a trip to Brazil with my undergrad program. I was a senior at the time and very much took this to get some travel and more experiences. But the trip was all centered around people with disabilities. And it was about creating a business to help people with disabilities. So the first couple of days we just spent...
Was that the choice of the professor that directed the trip then? Or was it...
I think it was the program.
What was your program?
Sure. It was the IBPC, International Business Plan Competition.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a school from the U.S., the hosting school that was in Brazil, mm-hmm. a school from Germany, a school from Hong Kong. And I guess collectively, the leaders from those schools decide on themes.
Let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the year after us was climate change was the next goal. Uh-huh. Yeah. So with that goal or with that theme, we... spent the first couple of days in Brazil just visiting hospitals, visiting disability advocates, talking to people about their problems, seeing what they struggle with. We ended up visiting the Paralympic Training Center in Sao Paulo, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up talking to a gentleman called Cluton Nunes. He's a Brazilian wheelchair rugby player. And at first he brought up infrastructure and just kind of the issues with navigating broken sidewalks with a wheelchair. And at the very end, he was like, you know, my favorite outfit used to be a t-shirt and jeans, and I can't wear that anymore. And I very much went, oh, really? Tell me more about this. And it turns out that after his accident, he realized that sitting in a wheelchair all day in a pair of jeans, they'll slip without him feeling it or noticing. So he's been really embarrassed. He now pretty much, or when we spoke to him, he told us that because he was an athlete, he could just get away with wearing athletic clothes every day. So he wears basketball shorts, he wears stretchy t-shirts. He doesn't have to wear jeans anymore and quite frankly avoids them mm-hmm. now. But I thought that was kind of heartbreaking, you know, if you have your favorite outfit that brings you comfort every single day, you can't wear that anymore, especially after an accident when you need that emotional support for yourself. So yeah, I think that really sparked something in my mind where I went, I think this is an issue that more people are dealing with.
Yeah.
I think it's an issue that people are finding their own ways around too. Either they're avoiding it altogether. I've talked to many people who just don't own button-down shirts or mm-hmm. slacks or jeans anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that idea really stuck with me. So once the program ended, it was only 10 days. I was the only one in my group who went, I really like this idea. Maybe I'll keep going with it.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I kept continuing.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, I know lots of men in particular who wear sweatpants. That's what they wear because that's what they can get on independently. Mm-hmm. So you're saying you can have a pair of jeans or you can have a pair of dress pants and get them fixed to meet your needs.
Absolutely.
How long does it take once somebody sends you a basket of clothes to get all of those things adapted, and how much personal attention do you have to give to that individual to figure out exactly how to make it work?
Sure. So right now on our website, we have a standardized option, a list of options where we say you can choose the shirt, you can choose the materials, you can choose whether we do all of the buttons. If you want to wear it more casually, we offer an option where we don't do the top button. So you can manually adhere it, or you can just leave it open as you'd like. But we tried to standardize the process on our website as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The turnaround time, it generally takes a week for the item to arrive to us when it gets shipped. I generally give my partner a week of turnaround time in order to get those done. So by the Friday, we ship those out. It's another week. So hopefully it gets out in 21 business days is our goal.
Well, that's not so bad. I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround given that it's so individualized for people.
Absolutely.
So you don't have a storefront business.
No.
How is it working for you?
I think it's going well. I think it's nice. We don't really need a storefront business. We don't really need a ton of machinery. My partner, she sews. She has sewing machines at home that she's very comfortable with, that she's been using for years. I've basically just been buying material, doing everything online, coordinating shipping schedules to get things to her house versus like buying labels and getting them shipped back to the people who ordered the clothes. So it works out online. We don't really need an in-person.
Yeah. And I would imagine that most of your business comes from lots of other places besides Champaign-Urbana, because there are, I mean, certainly there are people in town who might be interested in using your services, but it's a much broader concept.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest issues that we've had was shipping, actually. Because we have two-way shipping, that cost really adds up really quickly. So what we've been doing as my project, I think accessibility and access to our service is something really important to me. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to develop relationships with local organizations to develop what I like to call drop-off partnerships, where people within their local community can drop them off at an organization they already visit or a nonprofit they already visit in the area. So they can drop it off there. That location can aggregate orders throughout the week, so it's not each shirt getting a separate shipping label that costs $8. They can kind of save on those costs, and we can charge the person who's getting their shirts changed a lower cost as well. So I think there's a dual aspect of, yes, we're online, yes, we can serve everyone nationwide, but also we do like to serve the community and are trying to make it more accessible in that way too.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have a real person, you know, that lives in the community and wants to do good things and be available to people. I met you at the Disability Resource. Well, I think I met your partner at the Disability Resource Expo because you had a booth there. And I thought, well, this is really an interesting service for people to take advantage of. And I don't think probably enough people even know that you exist at this point. How do you do your outreach? How do you advertise your services?
So we have been largely focused on social media. One of the biggest things that I've been doing is identifying people who have kind of an audience on Instagram or on Twitter, on Facebook, within the disability community especially. So there's one woman, her name's Molly, she runs a blog and Instagram account called All Fashionable, where she posts outfits of her dress, her post pictures of her outfits every day, and just shares how accessible that clothing was, how easy was it to get over her braces, or how easy is it to put on, take off every day, and where is it from, just to give people options of where to buy clothes. And so we thought she was a great fit. She ended up sending us like a linen button-down shirt. We adapted it with magnets and sent it back, and she posted a picture on her Instagram for us. We shared her contacts. I think her review lives as a highlight on our Instagram. So that's very much what we're trying to do, is finding smaller people who have kind of a reach within the disability community now, and just trying to raise awareness of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you've only been in business for a few short years. What are your thoughts as far as growing the business and adapting things more differently, possibly, than you've done before?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things I want to accomplish in the next year especially is just contacting more of the local communities. I think I've gone around and met a lot of people within the Champaign community, but I'd love to expand to like Chicago, some of the other Midwestern areas, to really build up that drop-off partnership. I totally understand shipping is pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. That's a huge barrier for people. So I think if I can build those relationships, build that network, kind of make it more accessible for people especially, and to kind of get the word out face-to-face too and kind of build that trust, that is definitely something I'm focusing on.
Do you have local partners in this area yet? Or are you still?
I think we've been in talks with the Special Recreation Center and the Adult Day Center in Champaign. Yeah. So slowly but surely.
Yeah, yeah. So if people want more information, what is your website? Where do they go to find that?
Sure. So our website is equability.co, equability.co. You can either reach out to the email address there. We have a contact us page. Or if you want to find us on Instagram, it's just Equability LLC. And you can send a direct message. I will see that because I'm the person running it. Those are two ways you can get in touch.
Great. Well, I will definitely put that information on the Disability Beat Facebook page and get people that link. But I'll have to remember it's .co, not com.
Yes.
That will be the thing to really check out. And keep us posted on the work that you're doing. It sounds very interesting.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in. And you have been hearing Hillary Fan, her business is Equability.
Thanks.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. No,
down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Food Sleuth Radio. But before that, I want to make a plea for those of you who did not have a chance to make your donation during our fall donation drive. You can still do that by going to our website at weft.org and become a member at the $40 level or make a donation of any amount that is feasible for you to make sure that WEFT stays on the air here in Champaign-Urbana. Hillary and I were just talking a moment ago about the fact that there are only two community radio stations in the state of Illinois. People don't realize how lucky we are to have our own community radio station right here in Champaign-Urbana. So it's really important that our listeners support us, that our underwriters support us, and that's the only way that we have stayed on the air for the past 40, going on 43 years. Thanks in advance for your support. The website to go to make your donation is weft.org, and just click on the Donate Now button. And we're going to be going to Food Sleuth Radio in just a moment. I do want to make a plea, though, also for you if you are able to or willing to donate a car, boat, any kind of vehicle that you have that's sitting around and you're not using it, and it's just been, you know, something that you've been wanting to get rid of, but it just seems too complicated to do it. You can go to careasy.com. and donate that vehicle, any kind of vehicle, to WEFT, as long as you have the title for what you're trying to get rid of. They will pick it up, haul it away. There's no cost to you, and we will get a check in the mail with your name on it as a donor for anywhere from a couple of $100 to a couple of $1,000, depending on the vehicle. And it is a great way for, it's kind of a win-win situation. So try to think of us when you have an old car that is not running and you just want to get rid of it. You can donate it and make it happen. Make that donation happen for WEFT. You just have to be really sure that you count, that you mention in the on the website that WEFT is where this donation should go. And without further ado, I've talked too much here. Food Sleuth Radio is going to be up next.
Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hemelgarn, a registered dietitian and investigative nutritionist on a mission